broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I swear they're going through their whole families, just checking on everybody from...
The NAACP does not support.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Call me a wide hunk.
A little bit loose.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night till the aforementioned hour. So, you know, you split the difference. 877-87. I ain't kidding you, bud. I'm not pulling any punches anymore.
Well, I know what's wrong with it. I'm going to stay here till 3 a.m. if that makes you no feel better.
Yeah, me too.
Good. That's good. That's a good start. 3 a.m.? That's too early. I don't want you guys leaving here till 6 a.m. How about that?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, look, he's going to ball.
Fixed.
Or the legions of people that are listening to the Phil Hendry Show will march right over top of you.
Come on, you have a heart.
I told you weeks ago about that. All right, welcome to our program here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We've got our video cast happening right now in HD, as well as feeding, every now and again, we're feeding some clips from NHK in Japan. We have the live streaming video of their news going right now. So far, it's kind of dulsky, isn't it?
Yeah, it looked like they're just talking to a bunch of guys. I was trying to find if they had any pictures of the tsunami or something like that.
The tsunami. Look, man, I don't want you seeking out YouTube clips. I just want to know what's happening over there with that nuclear thing, man. So keep an eye on it. Anyway, welcome back to the program, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, when you're at our website, philhendryshow.com, go into the shop because we've got our best of CDs, 1997 through 2005. These are our legacy best of CDs that we produced originally, and they are in their packaging, and they are untouched and unsoiled by human hands. Check those out. We also have our legacy shot glasses, and coming soon, we'll have the Phil Hendry Show. I don't know what we're going to call a latte cup.
I think that's gay. I think you should go with coffee.
Oh, do you think it's gay? Well, then I think I will call it a latte cup.
No, man, you can't do that.
Well, I think I might. I don't know. Anyway, we will have our coffee mug. So you can have that right there. I'll have it. You'll have it. We'll all have it. And, of course, our official Phil Hendry Show T-shirts available in our shop coming soon. UCLA outraged after student Alexandra Wallace slams Asians in racist video rant. Now, the Internet today has done two things. The Internet has, number one, made anything into a major news story. A guy farts. A mouse farts. A cat squats and dumps one. A cat kills a bird. It doesn't matter how mundane or how everyday, the Internet has made every story a big smash headline. We've told you about this. We've read stories. There was a story not too long ago, like about 2 weeks ago, some kid beat another kid up on a street in Georgia. Okay. Some kid beat another kid up on a street in Georgia, and that's like a national news story. A boy, I know what it was, the kid was in an outhouse, and the other kid pushed the outhouse over. That probably happened once a week for year after year after year back in the day when people were going to outhouses more often than they had indoor plumbing, and national news. But now because we are, you understand, folks, we keep track of everything. There isn't anything that happens now that is not recorded. There's a couple of reasons for that. We develop the need to record every small thing that we do because we think we're very special. We think we're really something else. And we're fascinated by ourselves and by others. And so now we record everything. We video everything. We tape record everything. We write everything down. We chronicle everything. There isn't anything that doesn't happen, and this will be the most chronicled generation in the history of the world. One thing historians will not be missing out on is life in America at the turn of the millennium, at the turn of the 21st century. Man, they'll get it all.
Yeah, they're going to have pretty much everything they need.
Yeah, except, well...
Well, you know, he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
That's true. People are photographing their eliminations. All right, so that means that we're having a harder and harder time figuring out what's really important. Now, I know that there are some of us who feel they know exactly what's important. But after all, that's just a matter of opinion. I don't give a damn what it is. It is truly a matter of opinion as to what is important. That's why we always tell you the best rule of thumb is the following thing. News, or important news, is a bit of information that crosses the important and interesting, sort of it intersects at those two places. It's important and it's interesting. How do we know it's important? That's subjective. How do we know it's interesting? That's also subjective. So you have to sort of go with general consensus. And there are those that find something important and interesting before anybody else, and it becomes important and interesting to everybody else after a while. For instance, Watergate.
Yeah, I was going to say Watergate.
Oh, were you really? No.
You were not.
Yes, I was.
All right, well, anyway, Watergate was important and interesting only to a handful of people. A couple of reporters here, a couple of gadflies there. Nobody gave a damn. But they began to report it. And then it became important and interesting to more and more and more people until finally, by God, it was bona fide news. But today, we're having a harder time because everything gets reported. Any moron with a video camera and the abject lack of humanity, lack of taste, and lack of intelligence to say, oh, pick up a dog and throw it off a cliff, can put that clip on YouTube and it becomes the craze. It's all over the world. It is, as we say, viral. And that doesn't say the people, you know, watching that video are bad people, because viral means a lot of things. Viral means people just watched a few seconds. People watched more than a few seconds and liked it. People watched more than a few seconds and didn't like it. People clicked on it and then and left. It can mean a lot of things. Now, here's a woman by the name of Alexandra Wallace. If you look at the picture of her, she looks like an imbecile, big fat bitch. And she put up online a racist rant about Asians. Well, it went viral over the weekend. In the nearly three-minute video, the student identified as Alexandra Wallace vents about the hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school. Like this fat tub of guts has some ownership in the school. Alexandra Wallace. She trashes students that she trashes as spoiled, rude, and unintelligible. In one searing moment, Wallace mimics an Asian student answering a cell phone in the school's library by saying, oh, ching chong ling long ling long. Now, that's some high comedy, right? Well, it probably is high comedy to people that stand around in kitchens at parties and crack themselves up, but... All right, here is some of this. Now, you decide. Maybe there'll be a lot of people that think it's funny.
I thought a little bit it was.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, man, that you'd think a little bit of it was.
Well, what's wrong with that?
It means you're an idiot, man.
No, maybe, you know, let's listen. Here is Alexandra Wallace. In her YouTube rant, she mocks Asians who use their cell phones while in the library.
In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library. Every 5 minutes, I will be, okay, not 5 minutes, say like 15 minutes. I'll be like deep into my studying, into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff, getting it all down, like typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to like reach an epiphany, over here from somewhere, oh, ching chong ling long ting tong. Oh.
I mean, I don't know, man. I know how that's funny to people who don't know what funny is. It's funny. It's a kid funny, you know.
What do you mean?
It's a kid funny. It's little kid funny. Ching chong tong tong. That's little kids laugh at that. It ain't really funny. Here is Wallace complaining that Asians at UCLA aren't polite.
These
By the way, unlike her, she's probably just, I mean, the epitome of daintiness and debutante style.
These hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine, but if you're going to come to UCLA,
which is fine,
then use American manners.
Oh, use American manners? You mean the kind that you use? What are American manners? Boy, that's a hot one. Wallace continues her rant on Asians who use cell phones in the library.
I swear, they're going through their whole families just checking.
What happened to American manners? She couldn't think of any, so she's back on cell phones in the library.
I swear, they're going through their whole families just checking on everybody from the tsunami thing. I mean, I know, okay, that sounds horrible. Like, I feel bad for all people affected by the tsunami.
No, you don't.
But if you're going to go call your address book, like, you might as well go outside, because if something is wrong, you might really freak out if you're in the library and everybody's quiet. Like, you seriously should go outside if you're going to do that.
Okay. Finally, Wallace is annoyed that Asians at UCLA aren't able to live without the help of their relatives, like I'm sure you're living on your own. Is that it, Alexandra? Other than the, well, never mind.
All the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me, their moms and their brothers and their sisters and their grandmas and their grandpas and their cousins and everybody that they know that they brought along from Asia with them,
yeah,
comes here on the weekends to do their laundry, buy their groceries, and cook their food for the week.
Uh-huh.
It's seriously without fail. You will always see old Asian people running around this apartment complex every weekend. That's what they do. They don't teach their kids to fend for themselves.
All right, so who knows anything about this fat, anyway? And I'm making fun of her being fat because that was the first thing I know. You know, people who live in glass houses, she looks like an idiot, and I'm fat, so I get to call anybody I want fat because I take that kind of heat all the time. And therefore,
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
This broad. So this went viral because, as you know, that's just hysterical stuff. No. That's the other thing about the internet. It has made the most mundane garbage like, wow, is that funny? Oh, man. You know, that dude with his pants. I understand. I know that stupid is the new cool. I get it, you know. But I ain't never, ever, as long as I live, until I molder in my grave, will I ever laugh at that crap. Although we did write a few Godzilla jokes, you know, but we'll later on. All right, number on the Phil Hendry Show, when we take phone calls. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We have some other examples of good taste when it comes to Asian people when we come back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's The Phil Hendry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, on to number two here. WNBA guard Cappy Pondexter, sorry for insensitive tweets about Japan. We also have Gilbert Gottfried, who is personally, I never thought the guy was funny. He's irritating as hell with that whole screechy thing.
Hey, the guy's a riot. Are you kidding me?
Nah, that's fine. That's probably good for you.
I don't.
Yeah, well, you don't know what's funny.
All right, well, you don't know what's funny.
Well, whatever. I mean, you think he's funny, bud, that's fine. I've never personally thought the guy was funny with the screaming and the yelling and whatever. And the guy, I know, you know, he's irreverent. Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, let's start out with the WNBA. Cappy Pondexter, New York Liberty guard of the WNBA, has apologized after causing an internet uproar with comments on her Twitter account that were deemed insensitive toward victims of the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. I got a question from somebody on Twitter the last couple of days. They said, Phil, what do you think about karma and Japan? I said, what do you mean? Because I know what karma is. A lot of people use the word karma. They don't know what the hell it is.
What is it?
Karma is cause and effect. Cause and effect. A cause, for every cause, there's an effect. For every effect, there's a cause. If you want to know what the cause is, study the effect. If you want to know what the effect will be, study the cause. That is the Buddhist philosophy on karma in a nutshell. Cause and effect. So I'm supposed to get on board with this conversation about Japan, you know, leveling some karma with this thing. Well, number one, the Japanese people that are alive today were not alive during World War II. I guess that's what some people are referring to.
Yeah, but I mean, they may have been talking about, like, spiritually, you know.
Oh, spiritually. Spiritually. You mean, like, Mother Nature?
Well, what are you making fun of it for?
You know, this is a really interesting world we live in, man. On the one hand, people don't dig religion, or maybe it's they just don't dig Christianity. That's what that's about. On the other hand, I'm supposed to get on board with all kinds of religious new think. What are you talking about spiritually? If you want to talk about karma, then karma would be the actions of an individual revisiting them in another form at some later date. If you want to talk about karma having to do with the present generation of Japanese, well, then you're going to have to talk about reincarnation. That's what we're talking about.
Why?
Why would these people now suffer because of something their ancestors did? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Bill, maybe there's something about karma what that works.
Hey, Jack, what do you mean there's something about karma? I mean, if you want to believe in reincarnation, where you are reborn and as another kind of a human being, and you're still working your life out, it just so happens all these cats are reincarnated Japanese from World War II or whenever the Japanese did all kinds of bad stuff, I suppose you can have that discussion. I'm not going to go down that road. Let me tell you what's going on in Japan instead of karma. It's something that's far more practical, and it ain't got nothing to do with God, and it ain't got nothing to do with the pagan mother nature. Let me tell you what's happening. The Japanese people are the descendants of a race of people that found their way from Africa all the way across the Asian continent and decided to settle in what we call the Far East, if you will, or the, you know, Pacific Rim of China, of Korea, of Japan. And there might have been a land bridge at one time between Japan and the rest of the continent of Asia, but that's where those people settled. They had wandered enough. They found something there that they liked. Look at all the mountains. Look at the lakes. There's all kinds of game. Remember, we were hunters and gatherers at one time before we were farmers. And so settle there they did. And they made it their own. Well, the luck of the draw in geography has nothing to do with whether you are superior or inferior. It just simply has to do with, wow, here's where I am. And you can say that one group of people were smarter because they landed here as opposed to there. And those arguments can be made, but they have nothing to do with intelligence. Have nothing to do with intelligence. It simply has to do with a hunter-gatherer people following the herds and winding up places. And they happen to wind up in a place where there's lots of earthquakes and volcanoes.
Yeah, but why didn't they leave if they seen that that's what it's going to be?
Well, we're talking about thousands and thousands of years of living in a place, bud. And the fact is, people don't leave places they've been thousands and thousands of years. People find a way to adapt. What did we learn when we were kids? Well, probably you didn't learn it because you weren't paying attention. One of the things we learned about human beings is that we are one of the most adaptable creatures on Earth. We're very adaptable. Humans live everywhere. We live in the snow. We live in the sun. We live in the heat. We live in the cold. We live in the rain. We live where it's dry. We live everywhere. There's not an animal on Earth like us, other than the insect, that can live just about anywhere. And we make those places our homes. And we stay there. The Japanese are living on an island that's very populous because there are a great number of resources there. Not enough to please the Japanese. At least during World War II, they wanted to go out and get rubber and oil. But the island of Japan has been a very sufficient island for the Japanese people for many, many centuries. But it also happens to be a place where there's badass earthquakes. Same thing in China, same thing in Iran, same thing in the United States. That's what's going on. And geography has got nothing to do with intelligence. Geography has to do with just where did your ancestors wind up? You might say that my European ancestors were really smart. They wound up in Europe where there was all kinds of stuff and there were so many resources and so rich of land that we developed bureaucracies and we developed armies and we developed religions and we developed nations long before a great many other nations did or peoples did. But it also created a lot of disease. It also created a dependence upon arms as opposed to a dependence upon our gray matter. It forced us out into the world, and it forced us to conduct ourselves in ways that ultimately were very self-destructive, as well as destructive of other people. So everything has its drawback, and everything has its everything can have its negative side. So Japan is where Japan is. The people are where they are. It's got nothing to do with karma. It's bad luck, or if you will, it's good luck, because we'll talk about that on the other side. What are the Japanese going to develop out of this situation? World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on this spot. It's a Monday. What are you going to do? You know, Monday. Mondays are rough, baby. I don't care. You know, people always talk about them being rough. And for some people, they jump right into money. Great, man. Not me.
Yeah, you all, and ain't like you don't do anything.
Yeah. What do you do on a weekend?
I don't do a thing. You guys are right. I don't even drink. I mean, I watch a lot of TV. I do a lot of reading. I love to drive. I love to go out down to the beach, obviously. And because I'm on that caveman diet, all I'm doing is eating steaks. I barbecued a couple of tri-tips.
Yeah, those are good.
I know how to do tri-tip. But if it was back before I was, like, on the diet, man, I'd be eating and reading and watching TV. I mean, that's how I relax, man. And every now and again, I'll pop back the tequila. But been a long time, dude, for that. I mean, last time I had tequila, we did tequila shooters on the... on the video cast right after one of the Saturday night, one of the KFI shows, didn't we?
Yeah, you did, man. You almost put away a whole bottle of tequila.
Well, you put away a whole bottle. But anyway, yeah, Mondays can be very, very sticky, but we're back at it. And plus, this has been just a I'd say it's a very traumatic period of time for anybody. Looking at those images coming out of Japan. And we've been, as I mentioned, we've been going back and forth on our video cast, showing people just images from news conferences that are happening in Japan on NHK. Every now and again, you may see some replay of one of the effects of the tsunami. But the Japanese television network is not playing any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for that one explosion we're talking about.
Well, there was one explosion. There was one explosion that I did see that was huge, man. I thought it was going to be like it. Did you see that thing, Bud?
Yeah, it looked like a mushroom cloud. Or, I mean, I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was, too. It started going up in the air, and I'm going, oh, my God, not another mushroom cloud. I mean, are you telling me this is like the real deal hydrogen explosion thing? And it was just, it was enormous. And the plume of smoke and the plume of exploding debris did go up and kind of flatten the way a mushroom cloud might. And thank God, you know, it wasn't the real... I mean, who knows? Now, while the Japanese people are having to deal with this, and I mean they've had to deal with a lot, and we said it at the beginning of the show, they've had to deal with this tsunami. They've had to deal with trying to find people that are still alive. They've had to deal with trying to find all of the bodies of people that have died. They've had to deal with trying to get all of that equipment onto roads and onto railroads and other modes of transportation or throughways that are now not, you know, functional. The infrastructure of the country, that part of the country, I should say, the northeast of Japan, is completely down. They've now got to deal with the nuclear reactor situation, not with one, not with two, but with three. This Prime Minister Nan, I've got nothing but the greatest of respect for this guy. This poor man better lay down and take a long nap after this whole thing's over with.
What about that one guy, man, that's speaking on behalf of him, too?
Well, there's that man there that is the Prime Minister's. I mean, does the man sleep?
Probably not.
I bet you that poor guy, these guys haven't slept a wink. So this is the horror that the Japanese people are living. And in the middle of all of this over here in the United States of America, we've got people who believe, because they have free speech, that they can squat and dump anywhere they want. We have people here in America because the United States, and I was talking this morning, we did the table read for Napoleon Bonaparte. I was talking, or Napoleon Dynamite Bonaparte. And I was talking...
Napoleon McCallum.
That's right, Napoleon McCallum. No, it was Napoleon Dynamite. And I was talking to one of the actors, and he said, he was talking to me about his kids. And he said, they're very young, so I don't want them to see these larger horrifying events, but I do want them to be aware of what's happening and that the country of Japan is dealing with it. He said, I like for my kids to be aware that there are things called countries and that there are people in them that work together. And I said, well, that's a very impressive thing because, you know, we live in a country where we emphasize individualism. And there's a strong emphasis on individualism in this country to our detriment sometimes. Yeah, sure, we're individuals. I got it. And I'm glad that we are. And I'm so happy that we are. But every now and again, you got to act like a country, a people, a community. You know. So having said that, even though we have all these rights to free speech, and aren't we just marvelous the way we exercise them? Oh, boy, you know, we really, Gilbert Gottfried and this other fat slob over there at UCLA and all these other people, the fact is, there's a time and a place. I will always believe that. I don't give a damn what other people think. I will always believe that. And I'll always conduct myself that way. Gilbert Gottfried went on Twitter with a few Japanese-style, you know, slamming the Japanese or making fun of the Japanese. And then when he got canned, he didn't apologize, and he had some of his fans on Twitter, and I heard from one of them, one guy saying, boy, that's why I like Gilbert, man. He always says what he thinks. Well, that's good, but please don't act shocked when you get fired from a gig, man. Gottfried, here is an example of what he tweeted. Japan is really advanced. They don't go to the beach. The beach comes to them. Now, I know there's people laughing right now. Don't tell me that there aren't. And that's fine. Because we're not talking about whether you should laugh. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the public expression of these things to gain laughter and entertainment. That's what I'm talking about. I don't give a damn if there's people out there that'll laugh at it. If you show a little bit of kindness and a little bit of sensitivity, you show that you're a civilized human being, and you've got a view of the world bigger than yourself. If it's all about us, all the time, morning, noon, and night, and it doesn't matter what has happened, it's always about us, me, well, then we go around, and we're just squatting and crapping wherever we want. But when you act like that, you also are going to be surprised when somebody decides they want to kick you in the ass and tell you to stop doing it. You can't be surprised. If you're going to conduct yourself that way, then understand there's consequences. So Gottfried, I'm going to have to believe, if he's a smart guy, he knew there would be consequences. Or did he? He also posted this. I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute now. I know people are laughing. But like I said, it isn't whether they're funny or not. It was the public expression of this stuff that was supposed to gain him fans. Well, it might have, but he lost a job. Another Japan called me. They said maybe those jokes are a hit in the U.S., but over here they're all sinking. So Aflac's chief marketing officer, Michael Zuna, said in a statement, Gilbert's recent comments about the crisis in Japan were lacking in humor and certainly do not represent the thoughts and feelings of anyone at Aflac. He said in a statement, Aflac Japan, and by extension, Japan itself, is part of the Aflac family, and there's no place for anything but compassion and concern during these difficult times. It's a Columbus, Georgia-based company. They said they will start a nationwide casting call to find a new voice for the Aflac duck.
Are you kidding me? You got fired from his duck job?
You got fired from your duck job, Gilbert. He was not the voice of the Aflac duck in Japan, which I'm sure, you know, made a big, big difference. The people in Japan saying, at least it ain't that Gottfried jackball. We got our own duck. Aflac does 75% of its business in Japan and also plans to donate $100 million to disaster relief. Gottfried has yet to apologize for the jokes, but he did post the following. Been reading your tweets? More than a few of you have said, F them if they can't take a joke. Yep, those are true Gilbert Gottfried fans. I don't believe that he really believes that. I think that that's what you say when you got nothing else to say, but you don't want to look like you're caving. So you say that, you know. All right. Sometimes you only hope that a guy like that, you know, goes through something bad. But I'm sure he's a good guy. Maybe. I don't know. So Gilbert Gottfried doesn't have his duck job anymore.
Yeah, but I saw that you went on, man, and said that he laid an egg.
Yeah, I said he laid an egg.
That's right.
Yeah, I said he... That's not making fun of the people in Japan. I said he laid an egg.
Yeah, well, that's making the duck joke, though.
So what?
Well, and then another one you said was, he's quacking up.
Yeah, I said Gottfried's quacking up and that he laid an egg. Wait a second. Are you guys going to try to tell me that's tasteless?
I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds tasteless to me, like you making fun of Japan.
I wasn't making fun of Japan, and you know I wasn't. I was making fun of him using eggs and ducks.
What's the point, saying he's quacking up? And another thing, you said you hoped his agent ducked.
Look it, man. If you're going to go on Twitter, you might as well write something worth reading. So I decided I'd throw in duck and egg and quack. Did I put an egg?
Yeah, you said I laid an egg.
Yeah, that's right. Don't give me this bull crap, man. I didn't say nothing that was that bad.
I don't know, man. I'm going to go back and listen to it again.
Listen to what? I tweeted it.
I mean, read it.
Hundreds of bodies have washed ashore in quake hit Japan. Hundreds of these bodies have been discovered by police and by rescue workers and by other people doing recovery as well as search and rescue. Compounding this disaster, water levels dropped precipitously inside a Japanese nuclear reactor, twice leaving the uranium fuel rods completely exposed and raising the threat of a meltdown hours after a hydrogen explosion tore through the building housing a different reactor. On the economic front, Japan's stock market plunged over the likelihood of huge losses by Japanese industries, including big names such as Toyota and Honda. You know, the good news on that is, man, I'd go out and I'd buy Honda and Toyota. Are you kidding? It's not going to keep them down. And I'd go out and I'd buy some of that Tokyo Electric, too. That's the one that went to the floor, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, people don't want to buy that, man, because them nuclear reactors.
Well, it may be the nuclear reactors, but let me ask you a question. If Tokyo Electric ain't in business, who else? Somebody else going to run out and buy and build themselves a nuclear reactor? All of a sudden they're going to have competition because they couldn't keep the nuclear reactor online during an earthquake and a tsunami? Here comes Tokyo Super Electric, man. That's the company to buy stock in. Are you nuts?
So you'd buy stock, huh?
Yes, I would. I'd buy into all of those companies I just mentioned. Tokyo Electric, Toyota, and Honda. I'd buy stock in all of them. You got to be kidding me.
Well, I mean, but nobody knows they're going to come back.
What do you mean, come back, man? Why wouldn't Toyota and Honda come back? Why wouldn't Tokyo Electric come back?
Yeah, but those are people who know more about it than us.
No, they don't. That's the whole thing, man. The stock market is driven by emotion. It's driven by panic. The stupidest things, the dumbest rumors, the silliest stuff will make the stock market go through the roof or hit the floor. There's no logic. There's no intelligence. Yeah, sure, they're reacting to jobs this and consumer confidence that. And, oh, this company here reported something, and this company over here reported something else. And everybody runs off and panics about this stuff. When I heard that thing about Tokyo Electric or whatever the hell that company's called, oh, boy, they're going through the floor, man, because their nuclear reactor's offline. I'm thinking, okay, so their nuclear reactor's offline. So they're going through the floor. Somebody wants to invest in them. Are you trying to tell me another company's going to come along and take their place?
Well, I mean, you think they'll ever have a nuclear reactor again?
Are you not? Look, we're talking about the Japanese here. These people know how to do things, man. They have learned ever since World War II, when the whole world basically said to them, no, you don't get to go and have all that stuff. You're going to have to figure it all out there on those little islands that you live on. Go ahead. Have fun. Have a nice day. And they did. Science, trade, commerce. The Japanese went out and conquered in ways that they'd never tried before. They did it in the world of business. They did it in the world of science. They did it in real estate. They didn't need a bunch of goose-stepping militarists. They didn't need Tojo. They didn't need all that bonsai stuff. They saw the future. America had opened their eyes to it. That's the irony. And the future was business. Or like the man said, we're all one big happy corporation.
That sounds very easy, but I don't know.
You're still on that karma kick, aren't you? All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at Phil Hendry Show. And we are online, philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be right back.
Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our final segment. What a night it's been. An interesting night, as Robert Green took us through 2 hours. What do you think of that guy?
That guy's a douchebag. What do you mean? What I think of him? Telling people about how his Lexus and everything.
Yeah, but I thought it was impressive that he had the Lexus and everything, but I also think it's bad that he did what he did.
Well, so you think it's bad that he's lording it over people?
Yeah, but I'm not all that. You think a man impressive about that?
About what?
About having a Lexus?
Who do you know got a car like that?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's going to tell his employee.
Well, I agree with Robert. I mean, the guy's going to walk in, hey, I've got a $375,000 Lexus, so be happy you work for me.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that.
But you just think the car was bitching.
Yeah, I'd want to see it and everything.
It's a lot of bread for a car, I'll tell you that much. I don't know how much Rolls-Royce costs, but that's right up there in Rolls-Royce country. So anyway, thank you, Mr. Green, for being with us, I think. I don't know. Anyway, parents upset, listen to this, parents upset over Florida teacher's sexual tension quiz. Now, what the hell? A quiz meant to teach high school students how innocent notions can become sexually charged as a person matures has landed a longtime William T. Dwyer high school teacher in hot water. You know, I really hate to read about any teacher that has a good idea and she's pilloried by a bunch of rabid parents who are, you know, took about 3 seconds to try to think this thing over, and they're led by a self-anointed, you know, like Frederick March in Inherit the Wind, you know, sort of a, what was the character, Brady? God didn't mean that we do this thing, we have to do it, you know. Anyway, we do feel it was over the top, said Dwyer Principal Joseph Lee of the quiz given Monday by Frank Rozanski to his advanced placement psychology class. Rozanski was disciplined, but was still in the classroom teaching this week. Rozanski wrote 10 questions on the whiteboard. And I guess they have whiteboards now.
Yeah, they'll kind of wipe them off.
The class, which has students ranging in age from 16 to 18, was working on a lesson about social psychology and perceptions. The questions could either be answered with something non-sexual like bubblegum or could be taken as a sexual innuendo. The point of the question was to show students how wording that a third grader would find innocent an adult might assign a sexual connotation to. That's pretty interesting. Lee said there were about 30 students in the class and the parents of a few of those students complained. After school, officials investigated. They determined that the questions were inappropriate. Were there sexual innuendos? Yes, Lee said, but it wasn't a sexual test. Students, parents, and the media have been referring to it as the sexual tension quiz. Anyway, here's some sample questions. Now it says, I'm spread before... Okay, I can dig that this is like for high school students, it sucks. Yeah.
Well, read them, man.
I don't want to read them because somebody's going to dump... Can I read them?
Go ahead, man.
You don't think so? All right, I'll read the answers. I won't read the questions. The answer to the first one was, what good is that going to do? The answer to the first one is nose. The second one, peanut butter. The third one, crane. And the fourth one, Titanic. But, you know, the questions are pretty rude, man.
Well, maybe I'm like a high school student.
What are you talking about? They didn't say anything and then it's dirty. It's all in your mind.
Yeah, well, maybe it is in my mind, man. But you know what? It's in a lot of people's minds. And the other thing is, these are high school students. If this is college, I got a whole other... It's fine. This is high school, high school, high school!
You know what's going on about that, though?
Yes! Kids in high school are under the age of 18. They're kids. God! Do we really have people out there? I mean, seriously, do we really have parents out there that don't get that? That don't understand that? Underage. You may think your kid is entitled to this, that, or something else, but I got news for you. You know it. I know it. If your kid screws up, wraps a car around a tree, and kills about 50 other people in the process, your ass is sued, not his. You are the one that gets taken down, not him. pardon the sexual innuendo in that last response. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show marches into the future with you, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Rick Johnson, Dan Northcraft, and, of course, Jason Rance. Good night and good luck from all of us here at the El Pacifico. Oh, and our affiliate spotlight tonight, we're going to do at the end of the show because we totally spaced on it. WKRS 1220 Chicago and KVRC 1240 Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
Yeah!
Phil Hendry.